Welcome back, everyone. Today we're diving into a topic that's, well, let's be honest, not always the most thrilling, but is absolutely crucial: security processes. We're cracking open 003 Crisp Domain 6 intro and section 3.pdf to see what's really going on behind the scenes.
And believe me, it's way more interesting than it might sound at first. Think of it like this. We're getting a peek at the blueprints for how organizations build those digital fortresses to protect their data.
Okay, I'm intrigued. So where do we even begin with something as broad as security processes?
Well, the document jumps right into account management, something that often gets overlooked, but is a prime target for attackers.
Account management. I'll admit, that doesn't exactly scream action-packed thriller.
I hear you, but it's more critical than you might think. We're not just talking about strong passwords here, though that's obviously still important. This document gets into the nitty-gritty of things like privileged accounts and the damage a compromised one can do.
Privileged accounts, those are the ones with, like, admin access, yeah. Right? The keys to the kingdom.
Exactly. One wrong move there, and it's game over. The document really emphasizes the importance of locking those down tight. We're talking strong passwords, multi-factor authentication, the works.
Makes sense. You don't want just anyone getting their hands on those master keys. But it sounds like it's not enough to just focus on those high-level accounts, right?
You're spot on. They actually stress the need for granular control over every single account in the system. Creating, deleting, changing permissions, the whole nine yards.
Because even a seemingly harmless account, if not handled properly, can become a backdoor for attackers.
Exactly. And they even dive into specific recommendations for authentication, going beyond just the usual use strong passwords.
Oh, do tell. What kind of specifics are we talking?
Well, for passwords, they get into things like minimum length, character variety, and even disallowing those commonly used passwords that everyone and their dog seems to use.
So password 123 is officially off the table.
You got it. And then there's multi-factor authentication, or MFA. They really hammer home the importance of that, especially for those critical accounts.
MFA seems to be all the rage these days, and for good reason. It's like having an extra layer of security, right?
Exactly. They even talk about different MFA factors beyond just your standard SMS code, things like physical security keys or even biometrics.
Wow, getting pretty high tech. It's like having a multi-step security checkpoint just to access your own data.
That's a great way to put it. It's about building layers of security, making it as difficult as possible for those attackers to slip through the cracks.
So we've got our fortress walls, our authentication checkpoints, but how do we know if it's all actually working? How do organizations make sure these processes are up to snuff?
That's where the document takes an interesting turn, moving from those foundational elements to the importance of constant monitoring and evaluation. They actually introduce a concept called the PDCA loop.
PDCA loop. Now that sounds pretty technical.
It's not as intimidating as it sounds. It stands for Plan, Do, Check, Act. Basically, it's a continuous improvement model.
So it's not just a set it and forget it kind of thing.
Not at all. It's about constantly evaluating, tweaking, and improving those security processes. You plan your approach, put it into action, check how it's performing, and then make adjustments based on what you find.
So it's like a constant feedback loop, always adapting and evolving.
Exactly. And a key part of that check phase is using data to measure effectiveness. They're big on establishing key performance indicators, or KPIs.
KPIs, right. Kind of like taking the pulse of your security system.
You got it. And these aren't just vague ideas either. The document provides specific examples of KPIs that organizations should be tracking.
Like what? Give me the juicy details. What kind of things are we measuring here?
Well, one that jumped out at me was mean time to remediation, or MTTR. It's essentially a measure of how quickly your team can patch up vulnerabilities once they're discovered.
So the faster you can fix those security holes, the better. Makes sense to me.
Exactly. And it's not just about speed. It's also about having systems in place to prioritize those fixes. Think of it like a triage system for security flaws, tackling the most critical ones first.
Okay, MTTR got it. The quicker you patch those holes, the better. Makes sense. Are there any other KPIs they call out as particularly important?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're really big on measuring employee security awareness.
Yeah.
You know, making sure those folks on the front lines are well-equipped to spot a phishing attempt or identify a suspicious link.
Right, because even with all the fancy tech in the world, all it takes is one wrong click to bring the whole system down.
Exactly. And the document even suggests using those phishing simulations, not just as training tools, but to actually gather data on how susceptible employees are. It's like a real-world test, but hopefully with less disastrous consequences.
So you're saying they're actually sending out fake phishing emails to their own employees? That's kind of sneaky, but I guess it's for a good cause. Better to catch them off guard in a simulation than in a real attack.
Precisely. It's all about being proactive and using data to drive those security decisions. And this data can then be used to inform future training, tweak security policies, and even guide resource allocation. It's a constantly evolving cycle.
It's like that saying, knowing is half the battle. You gotta know where your weaknesses are to strengthen them. But let's say, despite all these precautions, a cyber attack still manages to slip through. What then?
That's where the discussion of backups and disaster recovery comes in. And trust me, this document doesn't mess around when it comes to being prepared.
Mm-hmm. Or hit me with it. What kind of backup strategies are we talking about here?
They really emphasize the importance of a multi-layered approach to backups. This goes beyond just backing up your data to a single external hard drive. We're talking a combination of on-site, off-site backups, possibly even using cloud-based solutions to ensure redundancy and geographic separation.
So if disaster strikes in one location, you're not completely up a creek without a paddle, smart thinking.
Exactly. And they even delve into different backup types, like full backups, incremental backups, and differential backups. Each has its pros and cons in terms of storage space and recovery time.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. Organizations need to figure out what works best for their specific needs and risk tolerance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not just about having those backups. It's about knowing how to use them. That's where disaster recovery plans come in. And they should be detailed.
So like a step-by-step guide for what to do when what hits the fan, what kind of things should be in one of these disaster recovery plans?
Well, for starters, they stress the importance of having clearly defined roles and responsibilities. Everyone in the organization needs to know exactly what they're supposed to do in a crisis situation. No time for confusion or hesitation when you're dealing with a potential data breach or system outage.
Right. It's all hands on deck. Everyone knows their station and their role, like a well-oiled machine, even under pressure.
Exactly. And beyond just roles and responsibilities, a good disaster recovery plan also needs to outline communication protocols. Who do you contact? And how data recovery procedures? How do you actually get those systems back up and running? And they even talk about testing the plan itself.
Testing the plan, that's crucial. You don't want to find out there's a major flaw when you're already in the middle of a crisis.
Exactly. They actually talk about different types of disaster recovery drills, ranging from tabletop exercises where teams walk through hypothetical scenarios to full-blown simulations that mimic real-world cyber attacks.
Wow, so they're really putting these plans through the ringer, making sure they hold up under pressure. It's like a fire drill, but for cyber emergencies.
Precisely. It's all about preparation and practice, and this document emphasizes that security isn't just about technology and processes, it's about the people too.
The human element. We touched on that a bit with the phishing simulations, but I'm curious to hear more about what this document has to say about training and awareness programs for employees.
Well, they're not just talking about those dry once-a-year security awareness lectures that everyone dreads. They're advocating for a more engaging and continuous approach to training.
Engaging and continuous. Okay, I'm all ears. What are they picturing instead of those death by PowerPoint trainings?
They actually suggest things like gamification and interactive scenarios. Think more along the lines of you're dropped into a simulated phishing attack, and you've got to use your knowledge to navigate out of it, not just clicking through slides.
Now that sounds like something I could get behind. Almost makes you want to get phished just to play the game?
Okay, maybe not, but
yeah.
I see what you mean about engaging. It's about making that security awareness actually stick, not just checking a box on a form.
Exactly. And they emphasize it's not just about those technical skills either. It's about fostering this whole culture of security awareness across the entire organization.
So less about being a cybersecurity expert, more about just being a responsible digital citizen within the company.
You got it. Empowering everyone to identify and report those potential risks, no matter how small they might seem.
Because you can have the best defenses in the world, but if someone leaves the metaphorical door open, it's all for nothing. And they're big on having clear and accessible ways for employees to report security concerns.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to feel like they're bothering someone or navigating a bureaucratic nightmare just to report a suspicious email.
Right. You want to encourage that vigilance, not stifle it. So to kind of bring things whole circle here, it seems like this document paints this really comprehensive picture of security processes. It's not just about the technology. It's the people, the constant adaptation, the need for improvement. It's a lot.
It really is. They even get into the importance of constantly reviewing and updating those security policies to keep pace with the bad guys. Because they're not slowing down.
That's for sure. Well, on that note, I think we've done our due diligence for today. Listeners, as you navigate your own digital lives, remember security isn't just the IT department's job. It's on all of us. So stay curious, stay informed, and stay safe out there.